So if you'd like to just go ahead and state your name, where you were born, and when you were born.
Well, I was born about 5 miles out of town here. You want to know when I was born?
Oh, yeah, all the details.
April 17th, 1917. And I was about 12, 13 years old when the first Dust Bowl that I read, storm came through that I remember. And the reason I remember was because it was a big, big black cloud, what we thought was a cloud coming in from the northwest. And it scared us, or my mother and I, and we had some friends there. And we all got up and went out and stood by the cellar door and watched that come in. And as it got closer, we determined that it was dust. And I can't remember whether we went down in the cellar. It seemed like we might have, but I don't know. But anyway, that big black storm came in. It just, it was huge. Black, black, black. And
Black Sunday, is it? That was the...
I guess right. That's the way you would describe it.
Okay, let's move on down with our introductions.
I'm Ada Fuquay, and I was born between the big towns of Cestus and Lenora, December the 21st, 1918, and lived there all of my life till I got married. And the most I remember of experiencing this was, I think it was about the year winter after I graduated in the spring from my high school. And I had a grandmother that lived at Cestus, Oklahoma, Grandma Henry, which everybody knew her as. And she was in poor health, and my mother went up to take care of her. And that winter, it blew and blew and blew dirt more and more. And then on top of that, while she was gone, my dad and my two brothers got the mumps. Each one of them would have, it, and then in 3 weeks the other one would take it, and 3 weeks the other one would take it, and they were very sick. And the dirt blew in that house till my brother laid there, and first thing I knew, I went in to see about him, and he was literally covered with dirt, his face and everything. I never will forget that, cleaning him up. And that's about the most experience of being the dirt, other than it. I can remember that it would blow one day from the north, then we'd have a calm day the next day, and the next day it'd come back from the south and blow, you know, another way. You'd have that one day to get cleaned out, and then it'd come in from the other direction the next day. And it seemed like I was always the one that cleaned the dirt out. It drifted in something terrible.
At least it gave you a day to clean up.
Yeah, and then you had to have another day to clean up. It blew terrible. And then, other than that, I remember my parents are worrying over no money, no crops, and that type of thing. You know, that was a sad part of it all. I can remember that because we were a big family, and that is about the most I can remember of experiencing difficulties. I know it was a horrible winter that winter. My mother finally came home long towards spring from taking care of my grandmother, and the day she came home, I woke up the next morning, and my younger sister and I both had the mumps at the same time. We had the mumps.
You and the mumps.
I don't know. That's about the most I can remember of.
Well, we'll dig up some more. Get some,
I'm Leota Redinger.
The
L-E-O-T-A. R-E-D-I-N-G-E-R.
All right.
And I was born in the western part of Major County in December the 13th, 1919.
All right.
I'm Alice Stracker.
Is that S-T-R?
S-T-R-E-C-K-E-R. A-L-L-I-E. Allie. And I was born in Indahoma, Oklahoma, and March 15th, 1907.
Okay.
I'm Vida Biggs, and I was born at the home of my happy grandparents back by Goltry, Oklahoma, in February 13th, 1914. And they wouldn't leave Mother out there in the panhandle to have a baby, so Grandma took me home with them.
Oh, really? I didn't write your name down. I'm sorry.
Ruby Hay.
Ruby, and then how do you spell your last name?
H-A-Y.
Oh.
By no way.
No S, no E, no nothing on it.
My last name's Kite, K-I-T-E, and everybody always asks me how I spell it.
Yeah.
So I know how you feel. Happy birthday to you, almost.
Yeah, I just got this over it.
I guess that's why you're wearing the sunglasses, because you still...
Well,
she has an eye problem.
I was just joshing. All right, so did you all grow up in a rural atmosphere, like outside of town? Or?
Yes.
We did, in the country.
Didn't get to town very often.
No.
We was all country girls, I think.
That's all right, well, that's good then. You all have something in common already. So the drought and the... When that came in... It really affected all of you.
Yes, yes, very much.
Do you remember, like, before the drought, it was such a big effect. Do you remember when you first recall thinking things are bad? Was there something in particular that happened in your family that you remember thinking, oh?
I do. When I was in high school, a freshman in high school at Goodwill, Oklahoma, and my brothers, one was in college and one was senior in high school, and Mother bought a little two-room house, and we batched. I kept house for my brothers. And in 1929, the banks closed. Then the Federal Land Bank foreclosed on all the farmers' machinery. And Father had had, Daddy had 18 head of horses. He'd sold all of his horses so he didn't have them to farm with. So those farmers were stuck without anything to farm with to stop the first dirt coming. They just, their old tractors that they did have, or some that they could buy from a neighbor or something.
Do you remember when the bank came to take the machinery? Were you there?
I wasn't there, but Daddy, we each one had our own checkbook. And Daddy called us on the phone and said, don't write any more checks. The banks had closed. And that was the beginning of a... Depression and hard times for us, because up then we'd go buy groceries or fix our shoes or whatever we were doing. Mm-hmm. And my brothers dropped out of school, and I finished up that term with my mother staying with me in the little house. Then I went to Beaver to school, and that's when the dirt began to move.
So that phone call telling you not to write any checks was when you remember thinking.
Yes, then we knew that things were bad. That Daddy wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have taken our checkbooks away from us because he wasn't that kind of a man.
Do any of you all have any similar times when you remember?
For the banks closing, I don't remember. My grandmother, that I told you my mother was taking care of, she lost every nickel she had in the Woodward Bank when they. And I can remember then, as I later years, she got a little dab of that back, but not too much, I don't think. Hmm. But I remember my parents worrying about Grandma losing all the money she had, which probably wasn't very much, you know, now, but it was a lot then.
Yeah.
A little went a long ways.
Yeah, then. Right, uh-huh.
Was there ever changes in the...
I don't think I ever knew the amount that she lost. I can just remember the folks talking about the Grandma lost all of her money.
Yeah. Any amount of lost money is a shame, no matter what it is.
Yeah, right.
Well, was there any changes in your day-to-day life because of the downturn? And were the things that you ate or the food you had or
wasn't different? Too much of mine. I can't remember ever having too much of those.
We had a large family. There were six children, and my uncle lived with us. And... this is what I can remember, that we didn't have rain where we could have gardens. But my dad could raise cowpeas, we called them at that time. They were red rippers, and they would grow in the dry dry dirt. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
But he could always have that. I mean, we had to have a pot of cowpeas when we get home from school.
Were the cowpeas?
They were called cowpeas, but there were several varieties of them. There was red rippers. They were the easiest to raise. You remember that, Ellie?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you just keep them, you know, thrash them. And
they were good. Did you dry them and eat them?
Oh, yes.
That's what I thought.
They were dried, and then they'd thrash them. And you'd
some of them called them chowder peas, didn't they?
Crowder. Some crowder. And then there was black-eyed peas and... cream sort of peas.
Black-eyed
and,
were they like black-eyed peas?
Well, they were red.
And they're more kind of a round.
Yes, round.
Yeah. They were red shaped like
a, I've seen them, but they never did grow.
But we ate a lot of that, and we had a farm that had a lot of timber on it. So my dad could cut wood, and he would haul it to the store, and they would trade groceries for this load of wood. So I think a 50-pound sack of flour was 75 cents, if I remember that.
Gosh.
And so Mother baked bread. She made the best bread, so we had fresh bread. And
we did, too.
And these cowpeas.
And cowpeas, yes. But
the cowpeas to you kind of symbolize those times.
Yes, yes. I haven't eaten those for
you mentioned this year, Biggs. You actually canned the lamb's quarters. And you had canned
Russian,
thistles.
Little Russian thistles. They're sweet. And yes. You can make good greens.
Oh. What's the, and they, when they grow up, do they have a flower on them or something? Are they like greens when you can them?
They were green. We picked them when they're very small. Mm-hmm. I'd go out with a basket and get a basket full and make a quarter or two of greens.
Because mm-hmm. They cooked down, so.
Yes, they did.
Do you all remember canning the
beans? Oh, yes, we did. Canned them. But Leota talking about the cowpeas, I remember that, we would buy pinto beans, a brown bean, you know, mm-hmm. and you could get the split ones cheaper. I can remember, I suppose it was a 2 or 3 pound bag we'd get for 19 cents. Uh-huh. And that's what we ate most of the time. And then, like Leo said, we always had baked bread and had mm-hmm. our own bread. Yes. And probably butchered a hog. I don't know. I can't remember. I know we always butchered
a hog. I can remember that butchering. Uh-huh. And you didn't waste any of it.
No. That's
they
right.
made the head cheese, you know, cooked the head.
And the feet.
And we'd split it all up and clean it up the inside. But there was meat on it, and they didn't throw anything away.
My grandmother always said she canned everything but the squeal.
Yeah. That's better. Tuck the rind, the skin off of the hog, you know, and rendered that out into lard. And then they'd make... soap out of, you made your laundry soap out of that.
The cracklings.
Yeah, the cracklings.
And cooked it down with the lye.
I still like cracklings.
I do too.
Yeah.
Everything but the squeal.
That's right.
What would be a special treat for you, you know, during those times? What would you have considered to be a really special treat?
I can remember when the folks would go to town, my mother would go to town. We didn't go to town a lot, and us kids sure didn't go.
No.
And my mother would bring home oranges. And that was, you know, that was fresh fruit. That was good. There she comes. She's just full of information.
Well, my father brought home bananas.
Bananas.
That was our treat.
Well, my uncle worked at a farm south of Chester, and when he'd come home on Saturday night, he would always bring us a sack of candy. You'd get a big sack for a nickel.
Yeah.
Was it hard candy or licorice?
It was just a variety. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't remember any special kind.
My husband always said his granddad used to come out and see them. I'm not so sure that wouldn't have been in the Dust Bowl days, but he'd bring horehound and... licorice,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe. That was kind of... Of course, he's older than I am. He'd always talk about his granddad bringing those. That it was always those two kinds. Probably was the cheapest.
They have oranges, candy,
bananas,
which I've never heard of before. I mean, being out in this area. Were bananas rare?
Very.
See, they didn't... They were. Oranges, I bet, would keep longer, don't you think? Mm-hmm.
Probably. Uh-huh. I remember. I had a family of four brothers. Nothing stayed around very long.
Well, I meant in the stores. See, in the stores, I had no way to keep them cool. Mm-hmm. But I can remember my mother bringing a sack of oranges. And I thought that was pretty good.
It was.
Do you remember the first time you ate a banana, what you thought? I grew up with bananas mm-hmm. all around. Yes. I never thought of them being a treat.
I remember the first ice cream cone I had.
Yeah, vanilla?
Yeah, I used to stay down to my grandparents a lot, not the one that I said my mother took care of, and they took me to Vyside with them on Saturday. They had an old Grand Page car, and I thought it was fun to ride in that car. And we went to, and my Aunt Nancy bought me an ice cream cone. We went in the drugstore, and I can remember eating it. I can see it yet. I just remember that story.
It was so good.
Well, we've got a new member here. So what everyone did before we started was say your name, where you were born, and when you were born. If you'd like to participate, that's what you do.
Oh, well, my gay Lord. L-A-V-O-N-A.
L-A-V-O-N-A, Gaylord. All right.
I was born southwest of Bessie in February of 32.
Oh, yeah. Where were you born, Lavona?
Well, Rudolph Schmidt lived south of town and to the west, and it was down along the, I think it was above the creek, that what creek run through there. His house was south of the creek, and then we lived on what they called the Rainbow Place in the middle of the quarter, north of him. And Dad farmed, worked with him, and we didn't have vehicles at that time. There was a path from the where the homestead was south to where he crossed that bridge to go to Rudolph's. And that path came in handy a lot of times when you couldn't see when the dirt was in the air. The only thing you could see was our path.
Where's Bessie?
It's just south of Clinton, halfway between Clinton and Cordell.
All right. I've never heard that town name before.
You don't know the big hole out back in 32 that killed the banker?
Well, let's hear about it.
Mom's had all the news clippings. It was her uncle, I think, that did that.
Well, we were just talking about, you're a... You'd be a youngster in this group, so you might have a different perspective on things. But we were talking about when maybe food was a little tight and you're eating cow peas and Russian thistles and things. What was a special treat for you as you know, something you wouldn't get very often that was special to have or that meant
a lot? I don't remember us having meat. We ate a lot of vegetables and gas that came through the government programs, but I don't remember... meat was a special thing.
So meat would if you had any kind of meat, would have been...
Roast or anything, yeah. Hmm. I can only remember roast one time when I was a child.
Wow. You're almost vegetarian by default.
No, I'm not. I corrected that.
Real quick. Well, what then would be if we had oranges, bananas, candy...
Well, I was listening to that, and I remember Dad used to bring home a handful of candy, but I don't remember fruit.
Yeah, no fruit. Did you enjoy the candy more or a big roast?
Oh, the meat.
Yeah.
We were talking when it was such a drought and no grass in the pastures and no hay for the cattle. And when President Roosevelt came in, there was a program to kill the cattle. Mm-hmm. And what'd they pay? $4 a piece?
I forgot, but I remember my parents talking about it.
And we were talking, Willard said, you could buy a cow for $5. Mm-hmm. And you surely could have meat, but then $5 was $5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember the Rumsey Ranch, mm-hmm. and they shot those cows, killed them cows. They would get, I think it was $4 a piece. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything.
When they killed the cattle out there, the neighbors were all alerted ahead of time because the man that was ahead of it was Daddy's cousin. And we knew the day they was going to hit the different farms. And those women had their cookers ready, their pressure cookers and their jars and everything. And they'd go from farm to farm and they'd take out the best meat out of those and bring it to the house for the women to can. And you know they just work 24 hours a day canning that meat. Did they do that for yours?
I was little and I just remember killing those cows. Now, I don't remember
what they did with the meat.
Well, I bet they preserved it.
I don't think we were supposed to use it. Well, I don't believe it was.
Is that right?
They'd butcher them over the hill in a canyon so that it was away from the road.
Yes.
And that was out south of Beaver almost to the Darzette line.
Yeah.
And... I mean, those women worked hard, mm-hmm. and they sliced, and the men would
pitch in and cut it up so that we could just put it raw into the jars, and then it came out like for stews and soup, and then they fried some of it, came out like fried meat and steak and roast meat.
It was good. I remember it was good.
It was real good.
Yeah, it was fresh, and they pressure it and canned it.
Another way they preserved the meat then, they'd fry it down, put it in the jar,
and
pour lard
over
it. Pour the hog lard over it, over this pork. It would keep for a long time.
Yeah, you put that, put it in big stone jars in your cellar, you know, and you'd put it like sausage or like she said, fried tenderloin or anything like that. Then you'd pour that hot grease over and it'd seal it. And you'd cover it and put it down the cellar. When you wanted that, well, you just go down and dip some of that out, and of course you'd have to melt that grease off,
and
you know.
And it was good,
but it was good.
Did they use that lard then for pie crust and things?
You could use the lard.
What was what were some of the least anticipated foods that you can remember? If you saw something coming to the table that you went, oh boy.
Well, I never did see anything like that because I was always hungry. We had a bunch of kids. And there was no leftovers.
You didn't have a choice like kids do now. You just ate what was there. And that was kind of it.
So you're grateful for whatever food you had.
I remember sometimes we would take a slice of homemade bread and put sugar on it and cream.
Yeah, sugar and cream was a great thing.
We always
You always raised a large garden. Huge garden.
Well, you didn't do that very much when we had the drought, though.
No, when it got worse.
Happened to be close enough to the cistern that Dad could siphon off. He kind of did some irrigating. And he always tried to grow enough potatoes to go through the winter. And when we could talk Mom into using some of those fresh potatoes to make potato pancakes, you talk about a treat. Because, see, everything went into storage for winter. Yeah. And so when we could get her to use some of those fresh potatoes for pancakes, boy, we had done something big. And they were delicious. I can't even make them now.
I've tried. They're kind of tough. They're tough to get them just right.
Yeah. They're hard to make, but she was good at it.
Huh.
So using fresh potatoes was a treat for us.
We always had a big garden and an orchard because we lived on a bottom. We always had lots of fruit to can, you know, things like that. But like you say, during those years when the dirt blew and the no rain, that didn't produce too much, you know, for a few years. I can remember that.
I think we always raised potatoes. I just remember gardening potatoes. And you can keep the potatoes, or you can even keep apples, put them in
hay.
Dig a hole and put hay in there and put apples or potatoes, put hay over the top.
Turnips.
Outside, you
dig a hole in the ground.
And they keep. You can dig them out through the winter.
Wow, I never heard of that one.
But they did. Or we used to wrap our apples in take the old Sears and Roebuck catalog and a sheet out, and I wrap an apple, and you packed it in baskets or something, or boxes, and we kept them down the cellar all winter, or in the basement all winter. You know, as kids always had apples to take in our lunch. Of course, then you had to always take a lunch to school, you know, and we always had apples to take.
Well, I was wanting to get back to something you said about the food that you had from the government. And then we talked about the cattle killing program, which was also the New Deal, Roosevelt. How was the New Deal or Roosevelt accepted in your households? And were the kind of things that he was doing welcomed, or the
not too well at my place? They thought that was kind of like welfare, and we would not take welfare.
One thing my mother did: we had a great big house. And we had at the front room, we had a back parlor, and Daddy had bought a big house and moved it up against our two-room house, and it had an upstairs. And Mama put tar paper on the back parlor floor, and Daddy put some straw or something on that, and she put her chickens in there, the roosters too. And they had eggs, I mean, she brought them all in. And then she had an incubator in, well, we had 8 incubators in the basement that we, and when we was really working with chickens, but this, they just had one that they could hatch eggs in, you know, and have chickens coming on. And Daddy had the chicken house sealed up to put his calves in that he was buying for $1 a head. So, and they, everything was sealed up with rags, with flour paste, all the windows, the doors, and everything, because even the chickens would get dust pneumonia. And this is one reason we didn't have cattle and things like that growing out there during that time.
It was worse out there where Vita was than it was in our area.
Now, I worked for my boarding room, went to high school, worked as a nanny from my sophomore, junior, senior year, and then over at Alva to go to college. So I was only home during the summer months because I had 2 little brothers at home that needed to be fed. And my older brothers got worked at back in the community around Enid and with relatives back there. So you see, our family got split apart, you know. Up till then, we were all 5 of us kids would pile in the old Model T and go have a party, a dance party on the lawn and all this kind of
stuff. We were talking about Roosevelt.
Well, but you see, Roosevelt, when all these things happened in the bank, because this stopped all that. It was just like somebody just shut the door on our lives at that time. I don't know how you girls felt, but that's the way I felt as a freshman in high school.
So you felt like kind of Roosevelt and his activities changed your life? Or did
I just knew it happened. It wasn't Roosevelt. We didn't discuss politics at home.
Yeah.
It was just a subject that we never were interested in. And I don't remember folks or anybody talking about it, politics.
Well, Lavona, you mentioned you had government food coming in at some point.
Well, I don't remember. Of course, as young as I was, I just remember that that's where, you know.
Yeah.
But I do know that Dad was paid for work. Then they had a work program that a lot of them were on around that area.
WPA. WPA. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. when the farmers could no longer hire help, then that was a job for them. And, of course, I think that was just part of the problem. As young as I was, and I've never gone back and studied to see what all was involved in it.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether that went along with the WPA, is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Job program, or whether it was separate.
Your dad had jobs with the government, though, at that time.
Yeah.
Well, my brother, the younger brother, stopped high school and went into the CCC camp.
Yes.
But I wasn't home during that time. I worked when I could away from home also.
What was the CCC?
It was a program for youth.
They could plant trees.
My brothers built the park at Woodward, that Crystal Park. You know, one of their programs, because I got to see them. I was living here at Sealing then.
Even though the people didn't want that program, and they still used it, the food supply was still extremely limited.
Yeah.
It was very...
Do you remember what was provided with government food?
I can remember big cans of tomatoes, because a lot of times tomatoes and bread was all it was for supper.
Yeah.
Vegetables mostly. I don't remember any canned meat.
They had,
and I don't remember any fresh fruits or anything.
They had apples.
Canned vegetables.
One of my uncles got apples, and they were beautiful, big, delicious apples. They'd get
from the government.
From the government, commodities.
Anything else they would give you or provide? They had jobs, apples, tomatoes.
I just remember those apples that they got.
Yeah,
my uncle got.
I think there was some. Dairy products with it. What, butter or something that...
Well, I don't remember.
Once in
that.
A while would come through with it.
The WPA, I can remember, kind of after the Dust Bowl days, why they came along from house to house, and we all of us had our outside toilets, you know, bathrooms. And they had a form that they'd fix, and they'd put a cement... I don't think the floor was cement, but the seat was cement. And put a good lid on it. And we used to have 2 holes, and then this one, was the one we had, was just 1. But that was pretty up to date.
The WPA would come through and refurbish your outhouses.
The people that worked on the WPA came through and
built those.
And mm-hmm. built them as a project. Mm-hmm. And another thing I remember well is the CCC boys. And they were the one that created Boiling Springs up here in different places.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm.
And I've got a friend that was a CC, worked with a CCC. Mm-hmm. He's dead now, but that was what he did for livelihood till mm-hmm. things got better.
I guess I don't know what all he did do. I thought they worked roads and bridges.
The WPA worked
tracks and things like that.
What WPA worked on the roads and bridges and
yeah,
the, and the CCC boys, they planted trees and
yes,
and
right.
windbreaks
that you see windbreaks.
Yeah, I didn't know they fixed the outhouses.
Yeah, I remember those. I remember those.
We had ours. Oh, that's the reason I haven't remembered.
Well, we didn't at home, but my older sister was just married and lived up there just east of Cestus, you know, on the highway. And she had one, I remember.
WPA house? Mm-hmm.
But did they pay a little bit for that, or did the boys just get paid because they was working for WPA? I don't think we paid any for that.
I don't remember.
I think mostly their paychecks went to their parents.
Yeah.
They were given a stipend for their month, and then the bulk of the money went to the parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you all had outhouses. That's how you.
Oh, why, yes.
Oh, we did have.
Yeah. So many rooms and
so many rooms and a.
Ours was double hole to begin with. That when the WPA came, they fixed it.
Why would they be double holes? Who's going to go with you when you go?
Well, you might take a child with you.
That's why I didn't want to ask the question.
Then had two holes.
I did.
Who's going to be sitting in there with you? So I want to know.
Mama may have to go and stand at the door.
Well,
you said you had triple.
You'd have to carry a child out at night.
I was about 2 years old. Daddy built a new house, and he bought it. Built his toilet with three holes because he already had a family of kids. He knew they'd all want to go at once.
Well, do you remember the first time you experienced indoor plumbing, flushability?
Yeah, I remember that real well. I was married before I had the indoor toilet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I've been married quite a while, too. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have memories of the first time they...
Mm-hmm. We had moved out to Panhandle by that time, and it was in the...
Moved to Chester.
It was almost 1950.
Did you?
We moved to Chester when we first.
Mm-hmm. So I was almost out of high school.
It's odd you can remember the first time you had an indoor bathroom. What about other indoor luxuries, like electricity? Or...
Oh, I remember when
that
we got electricity.
That was a big event.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, that was a big thing. When we were first married, we were in a little, what Ross always called it, the story and a half. It was two rooms downstairs and two upstairs, but the ceiling sloped down, you know, and the window set right on the floor. Just, okay. Then, after while we were living in that, though, Ross got a Delco plant and put in lights, which we thought was pretty nice then. Then REC came in. And we got electricity, and that was really nice. You know, that was something. That was a boon. It really was, because you could have a refrigerator then. But I had a refrigerator off of that run on kerosene. What was it? What did they call those?
I had one off of butane, but I didn't have.
No, I did. Mine run off. Ours run off of kerosene. What was it?
Ours run off of a wind charger.
Your refrigerator ran on the wind charger?
Well, we didn't have one when we moved down to Panhandle. Mom
was
had
thing?
One. I didn't think that was fair. He had a wind charger that did a battery in.
Right? Yeah.
We had a wind charger that kept our radio going.
Yeah.
We did too. Uh-huh. And we also, when I was a child, we had a Delco. And had lights in there.
The one luxury we had out there in the Panhandle was our telephone. That our community had 15 families on it, and each one had a ring. And if you had a fire in your grass, you just rang the general alarm, and everybody come in and helped you. And if you want to have a party on Saturday night, you got on there and tell everybody else, everybody come to my happy. So we're going to have ice cream and cake and lemonade. And, you know, we'd have a party out on the lawn. We danced the grass off, you know, with the Miller Boy and all these party games.
You must well do a general ring in the first place, because if you rang anyone to individual, everybody wanted to see what was missing. And they picked it up anyway.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of listening in going on.
Always.
But none of you ever did that.
Yes, it is.
That's the only way we could catch up on the
gossip. Like if you heard somebody, like say your neighbor, their ring going off, would you pick up the phone like real quiet and listen in, or how
you didn't have to.
Didn't have to. Everybody did.
You just picked it up and listened.
Yeah.
And everybody knew that everybody was listening in.
They could have.
One of my neighbors was from England, she and her husband, and he put in two telephones, and they hooked up on the line that went north, and ours went south towards the Texas line and towards Booker, Texas, out in there. And so if we had wanted to have a big community, we'd have her get on her general alarm and ring her other telephone.
Oh, her other
or if we had an emergency and had to get a telegram, something, we'd tell her on one phone, and she'd go to her other phone and repeat it. But they couldn't be hooked together.
Right.
See, they were two separate lines.
Well, you didn't want to get too involved in the conversation, because you might say something, and then you know you were on the line.
That's not the way it happened.
This is the way I heard it.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Well, what about your mentioning parties that you had? Was that a common occurrence to have get-togethers? And what were they like?
Well, everybody was invited, and even the younger married folks all played party games with the young people, and we'd get our little brothers and sisters and get them in. If you didn't have a partner, you grabbed one of the little folks, and everybody played. And on Sunday morning, some mother would stay home with some help and fix a great big dinner. And then all the Model T full of kids, several Model Ts would come up, and they'd all have dinner, and then they'd play croquet or something like that and have a good time. And I know one time we came home to church, and my two brothers stayed home, and we drove in. Lester's, my brother older than me, his hound dog came around, and she had about 13 pups. And they had gone in and got all my bras and put them on that hound. And I didn't know whether to get my bras or kill my brothers. The kids in those bottles, they were jumping out, and the boys were just rolling all over the grass, just hollering with laughter. And I'm still mad. I made all my underwear then, and they made out of a print, and they were all different colors, pink and blue and lavender and green. And here came that. That isn't funny. It's still not funny. But we had wonderful Sunday schools in those days. It was great.
Our underwear was all made of flower sacks.
I don't remember ours having socials during that time, because we just didn't get out and go. We didn't have the transportation to do in the first place. But I can remember Clyde talking about when they lived here that his folks went over to the Chester community building, and that was quite a lively place.
Yes.
That they went over there all the time. That it was just up here at Chester where Al Ann lived. It was a community center, and it was, I don't know how big of an area did it take in, Alan. The people come from how far around?
Oh,
quite a ways.
They came from all around. They had a dance on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. They come from everywhere.
We had fairly local
kids from this size.
Oh, yes. Yes, even to Logan, Lenora, and
Winoka.
All around. They came from everywhere. But they had local musicians who'd come there on Saturday night.
Was it so popular because the music was so good, or what made the Chester community building so popular?
It was only entertainment. I was going to say, you made your own entertainment. See, it was just people doing things together. That's all that was to do.
There just wasn't.
Then they got so wild and got fighting and shooting, and we finally had to close.
God had to close. But they had to close. We had some beer joints there.
Yeah.
And they had to close them down. Because they got...
I didn't know the beer joints.
In Chester was beer joints?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Two or three, and then we had a bootlegger there, too.
Yes.
Let's hear about the bootlegger.
He lived there about where Burl Daniels lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, right in there.
East of.
And he always had his liquor there. All the young men knew where it was. And then there also some would come on Saturday night and have theirs in different places around the dance.
Oh, yeah.
So
bootleg liquor, was that something that was kind of common?
Very common.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody
knew where to go get it.
This was all before 3.2 beer came in, you see.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do y'all remember tasting a little bit of?
I didn't either.
Mom did. I remember Mom talking about that because they were of German descent, and I'm a Polak, and they made their own. And Mom remembers when they would make it, and she was told to leave it alone. She was a little bit thing. She didn't leave it alone. She was really sick. She said she learned. But many of the families made their own.
So no one here listened in on telephones, and no one tasted bootleg liquor.
I don't believe it was as popular for girls to drink then as it is now. Or maybe I was protected.
I just thought maybe out of curiosity. I'd like to taste it just to see what it
tasted like. I have tasted beer, just tasted it, and I didn't like it. But one time I was sick. And my husband did have a bottle of liquor, and he thought a hot toddy would fix me.
Yeah.
So he fixed me a hot toddy, and evidently it was too much. Everything was so funny. Everything he said was funny. That was the only time.
But it didn't only
at least
make
you were
you.
Happy.
Well,
and they also made wine.
And that bottle, you think, was bootleg liquor?
Yes, because there's no place they could.
Okay.
There wasn't any place where you could buy it. You know, around there were just bootleg, and so I remember that.
I had no idea Chester had any bars.
And we had two cafes and two or three filling stations.
Uh-huh.
We had three filling stations on three corners of there. Uh-huh. One time
we had five.
Well, you see, I didn't know those things because I lived too far from Chester.
We didn't.
I never got that far from home.
It was across the river.
And we had ball games on Sunday. Uh-huh. Boy, good ball games.
We had a good ball team.
On Sunday, you had camp meetings.
Yes.
I went to all the Pentecostal
meetings.
What else would you do for entertainment if besides dances or, luckily that's all you said.
Just go visit neighbors.
Uh-huh. Neighbors visited
and played cards. Mm-hmm. We used to have a neighbor that lived about a quarter of a mile from us, and they had this old German couple, and they had this one young man. And there's five of us girls and one brother, but he liked to come to our house. And he was there, I expect, every night. We played cards, and my dad was a musician, and we had a little band. My brother played the guitar, and we was all taught to some musical instrument. We played music and...
Well, that was back in the 30s. Sunday afternoons, you didn't stay home. The only way you stayed home is if somebody got there before you could leave to go visit.
Somebody came. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Come home from church with you and eat dinner, and then the kids. Uh-huh.
Well, would they bring food or something?
No. Mom would fix it.
Mm-hmm. And there wasn't any lights on the vehicle, so they went home before dark.
Yes.
So would it be, though, like if... Like maybe if I didn't have food enough to eat, I might go visiting.
Well, food, people would help then, or they did in our community out there. And
I think we all had enough to eat.
Yeah,
we
might
had.
Might not be the very best.
We had plenty of
variety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we always had roast on Sunday. That was always the day. Probably didn't have roast during the week, but we did on Sunday.
What about as a child, and this might be more along your lines since you were younger during this time, but what about favorite toys or favorite things you remember as a young person, younger than what we're talking about now?
I don't think I ever had anything that was bought in a store.
What would you make then?
It's probably something. My mother used to make dolls, and we had a little rural school, up there, went to the eighth grade, and that was what our Christmas program was up there, because we didn't have a church right in our community, and we'd have that at the schoolhouse. And I can remember my mother, she'd make dolls and she'd make balls and just things like that, you know. I don't remember, I can't as a child remember, unless it was clothes. I might have got some clothes.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that, but I don't think I did.
I can remember one time for Christmas we got a string of beads.
Is that right?
That's it.
I remember one Christmas, Mother made doll dresses for my dolls for the, and she put pockets on the dresses and put wee little handkerchiefs in each pocket. Oh, in them. And my doll dresser was made out of those big matchboxes, and she glued four of them together with the wrapping paper around them and put a shoe button on the end for a pull, and I had a dresser with some doll clothes in it.
For heaven's sakes.
That was one of the happiest Christmas I remember. The Christmas tree out there, we didn't have cedars. My brother brought in a branch, and we wrapped it with cotton and then made chains to decorate.
We always did that. I'd take red and green paper tissue and make a chain, you know. Mm-hmm. I can remember when my mother bought some bells, red bells, and we'd hang them in the center of the ceiling and then run those chains that we'd make, you know, to the corners of the room. That was our Christmas decorations.
You're talking about through the 30s?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, there was five of us kids, and I don't remember toys. I mean, I just don't remember toys.
Yeah, just not having them there. You would go out and... Oh, go ahead.
What would we play with? Mm-hmm. Well, you took two slats, and you had one slat, and you put a piece across the bottom. And if you could find a hoop that come off a wheel somewhere or something, well, you roll that hoop with that slat.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or if you happen to... Somebody, I don't know where Dad came up with a couple of wheels one time, and the boys made themselves a scooter, found a 2x4, nailed the wheels on the side, and had something to hold on to, and you made your own. But I don't remember toys.
We didn't have toys. We didn't have. We played ball and climbed trees.
We used to make balls out of those socks. Mm-hmm. You could unravel those socks, men's socks.
And wrap them.
Make balls. The ball. Mm-hmm. That's what we'd have the ball to play with.
What about, it'd be pretty ingenious to make that doll dresser out of match
boxes.
Boxes. That was a pretty neat thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a happy thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One Christmas, I was not too big, and I went to the community building, and I got a doll. It was a rag doll type, but it had a buckram face and then didn't have a back to its head. You remember those kind? And got home, I had to put it under the tree, go to bed. And next morning when I got up and went down there, I had a little brother, and my brothers had taken that little chamber pot and put a chocolate in it and set my doll on it.
Oh. You had some ornery brothers.
I did. I still do.
So your doll left you a present.
I was furious. I still am.
Well, if we were lucky enough to get a hold of a Sears catalog or something, you could cut out the men and women in there and have paper dolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of remember that.
And then you use the other pretty sheets to cut, and you can just cut a square up like this and down like this, and then if you fold it down, fold it up, you'd have a chair. And your paper doll, if you bent them in the middle, they could sit in a chair. There was a lot of things you could invent.
And you could take the other catalogs out of your WPA.
Didn't know what toilet tissue was then.
Yeah, but when you're the little one, you always got left with the slip paper.
With the glossy sheets. Yeah. What about other holidays? It sounds like Christmas was pretty standard. I mean, you know, except for the lack of toys. But what about 4th of July? Do you remember?
Well, they had a celebration at Chester. And we lived 4 miles and half from Chester. And we always went to Chester on the 4th of July. And my dad would give us a quarter to spend. And that was a big deal.
Quarter was big money.
That was big money then. And
if we did anything on the 4th of July, the neighbors would get together and have a picnic at some central place. And I don't remember doing that too many times, but that would have been about all we would have done.
Chester always had a ball game.
Yeah.
There was a big crowd over there.
Chester seems like a swinging town.
It was, but you ought to see it now. Quit swinging, didn't it, Allie?
Mm-hmm. Still a neat place.
Still some good people lives there.
There's always been good people.
Daddy would gather the cattails up here around Belleville, you know, this community up in there, when we'd go to visit Grandpa. He'd get them in the fall of the year, save them in the granary upside down in a can of kerosene, and then we'd light that and have cattail parades with four or five of us children. We didn't go anywhere and celebrate like they did. We stayed home mostly, or maybe we'd have ice cream and cake or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that cattail parade was the big thing we looked forward to.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would take the place of sparklers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We didn't have fireworks.
Mm-hmm. When did fireworks?
No, they didn't.
When do you remember your first? When did fireworks become part of the celebration?
I can't remember the first fireworks I saw. Can't think.
I can't remember 4th of July.
I don't. We didn't have a 4th of July celebration. It wasn't at night because
we didn't have fire.
You went home before dark.
Uh-huh.
So
go home and milk the cows.
You had to get gather the eggs.
Gather the eggs.
Feed the pigs.
What were some other chores that you would have to do around the house?
Lots of chores.
I did about everything.
I drew water out of the cistern or the well and filled the old reservoir on the wood cook stove. And the tea kettles and the water buckets, you just carry water till you're green in the face. And get in kindling to start the fire the next morning, and then carry in wood for the next day. Mm-hmm. And gather the eggs. And let's see, what else did I do? I did chores all my life. I did chores.
We milked cows and sold the cream.
Yeah.
Had a separator.
I didn't milk as much as my older sisters did.
Oh, we did. Uh-huh. I never did milk. I was always afraid of the cows. But I could run the separator, though.
Yeah, and then you had an old cream separator that you had to turn, after you milked all those cows.
One job I hated was picking bugs off of the potatoes.
Oh, is that right?
Did you do that?
Potato bugs.
You had to go pick those off.
Put them in a can of carrots.
Yes. Or they would eat the vines and...
Stripped the vines until they wouldn't have any thing to grow the potatoes if you didn't get the bugs off of them.
Clinton is cotton country. And I was 9 when we moved away from there. And I can remember pulling a cotton sack.
Yeah? Those big, long sacks.
I couldn't fill it as fast as the rest of them did, and they would dump it for me when it got about that much, because I couldn't pull it very far.
Yeah.
But I can remember it.
We never did grow cotton. That was one thing I never did do.
Pulling that sack. I've seen pictures. That just looks like miserable
work. It's not fun. I would have rather done that, though, than I hated hoeing cotton.
Oh, yes. I've done that, too.
I hated
it. They called it chopping cotton. Cut the gold, hoe with the hoe, and hoe the weeds out.
Says, hey, you're being awful quiet over there.
She is quiet, isn't she?
Well, I'm listening.
What are some of your... Do you remember what chores you had to do around the house? What you thought
about? Well, to be right honest...
She was more protected than the rest of us.
I was the youngest one in the family. I had two brothers. They was the one that got the wood and done them things. And I just done the housework. But you talking about what you liked back there in them days, I can remember what I didn't like, and we had an awful lot of it, and that was dried apricots. We always had dried apricots. It must have been real cheap food.
Yeah.
And Mother was always fixing dried apricots.
They're kind of expensive now.
Yeah. I remember we had a lot of dried apricots, and I didn't care much for them.
We had a lot of wild plums.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone canned wild plums.
Made lots of plum butter and plum gel. And
that was good.
Yes.
Made grapes and... made grape gel, and then they made grape wine.
And currant jelly. Wild currants,
My grandma used to always make sand plum.
Sand plums are, yes. Mm-hmm. We would can those, and then sometimes we'd eat them, sweeten them.
That's what Polly talks about. Mm-hmm.
They were pretty good. You had homemade bread, fresh homemade bread just out of the oven, and butter, and a jar of those plums. They went together pretty good.
It was good.
Of course, they were, you canned them.
Oh, I canned a lot of plums. You know.
After you were married, I did.
After I was married, it just fruit sauce, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was one thing that neighbors in our community did. Like I told you, I grew up between Cestus and Lenore, and the sand plums was on the river. Mm-hmm. Well, two or three of the neighbors would get together, and we'd take our wagons and tubs and buckets and a picnic lunch, and we'd go pick plums and then have a picnic together, you know. Mm-hmm. And then maybe that we'd go swimming or something in the river, wherever we were at. You know. We used to go up on Bryant's a lot to pick plums, mm-hmm. and Watson's up in there. And not a lot, but I can remember that as a small girl doing that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to get back to a long time ago, we got off on something else, was your hot toddy experience. But not because of that, but I was just curious about other forms of medicine maybe that you had experienced or health remedies.
The medicine, about the only medicine I can remember when I was little, castor oil. If you got sick, you took a dose of castor oil.
Castor oil cured everything.
That was a cure.
Castor oil or Epsom salts.
When you were the babies, my mother would give them castoria, which was a baby.
Castoria, yes, that was for colic.
Castoria, and then after you got a little, you took castor oil. I can remember my mother would squeeze an orange out and put that castor oil orange juice. Kind of ruined the orange juice, but it was a little easier to go down. Because it wasn't like the castor oil, if you can get it now. It was bad stuff.
It was bad.
I guess we could afford castor oil. Because all we ever got was a teaspoon of sugar with 3 or 4 drops of kerosene on it.
Really?
That was for a cough.
For a cough.
Yeah.
I never heard of that one. Stuff was
bad. Yes.
But it went down. You knew it was going to help. But
yeah.
Is kerosene the same as coal oil?
Yes, that's what it is.
Coal oil kerosene, yes.
You always had that because you had your lamps and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was a ready.
You always had a lot of medicine.
You had a ready supply. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember castor oil.
Oh, my. I do.
I don't think I ever took any castor oil.
I don't remember.
Allie, you've never taken any medicine.
No, I don't take any medicine yet.
It tastes well, I guess.
Do you remember being sick but not wanting to tell people because you would have to
Have to take the castor oil. No. One time they had scarlatina in school. And my brother and sister had scarlatina, but when it got to me, it went into the fever. I had scarlet fever.
Scarlatina.
Uh-huh.
It's a mild form of scarlet fever.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. And we were quarantined. They came and hung a rag out on the... Kurt Green did. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He came and hung a red rag out on a tree out by the road, and we were quarantined. I remember that's when I had my big dose of castor oil. it didn't make me well. We had to have the doctor come out, and he gave me a shot, and he had his vaccinating gun in a little wooden box. That was so neat, and he gave it to me.
He gave me the box.
But I remember we ran out of some kind of, I don't even know what it was that they ran out of on the food line. And my brother and sister walked around through the pasture. Now, we didn't have any traffic on our road, but they walked around through the pasture to our neighbors, mowed across the road and borrowed whatever they needed. But you could borrow from the neighbor back then.
That was common practice. You'd get out of something. You'd go to your neighbors.
Castor oil, is that just basically that sends you to the WPA, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll get rid of anything that's making you sick.
Yes.
Is that right?
Kept your bowels moving, and that was making you well.
I guess so. If you're up and running, you're doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, during the time I was in high school, taking care of the baby, I didn't have a whole lot of time off, because they played bridge a lot, but... They gave us permission to drive the Model Ts in the runway of Joe Barnes, that walkway that always went down the middle. We'd get out of the dirt. We could have our party games down in that driveway. They let us do that as long as we didn't do any damage. We didn't have liquor or cigarettes or drugs. Nobody was fat, It was really, it's surprising. It very seldom did you ever see a fat student in school.
Hmm. Hmm.
That in the Beaver School, it was about close to 40 of us graduating high school, right together that year, and everybody was active.
I bet you saw a lot of skinny people, though. Is that right? A lot of people instead of fat people.
Yes, we walked 2 miles to school and carried a little lunch, so you know, and then get home and run and play. We didn't have time to get fat.
That's what I was going to say, you didn't have time to get fat.
That's right.
No.
I always walked 1.5 miles to school. Mm-hmm. Then when I went to high school, I had to walk a little over 1 mile to catch a bus to ride. I was always the first one on the bus and the last one off because I lived down between Cestus and Lenore.
Well, I rode horseback, of course. Having brothers, we all had their horses.
That was another thing kids did, horseback riding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we did. Yeah. We always had
a lot of that.
We always had
that
a pony.
That was good entertainment. Mm-hmm. Fun.
You would have a pony that you would, or
was, you know, it wasn't a workhorse. It was.
Could you ride the workhorses?
Oh yes,
oh yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
They were busy in wintertime, you know.
We had a mule that we used to ride, and we just play that mule out, and when it finally would stop, well, we'd all fall off, and then we couldn't get that mule to go anywhere.
They were known to be stubborn.
Yes,
they were very stubborn.
That was stubborn as a mule.
Stubborn as a mule.
Oh, we wore that old mule out.
My dad had a jackass, and he bred other neighbor's horses, you know. And I didn't as much as my two older sisters rode that old jack. And one time, Rickett, my older sister, was riding that old mule, and she went off over his head, like Allie said. And for some reason or other, she's trying to get him, this old Jack, I mean. And he bit her in the navel. He just bit her right off. We always tell the story about that Jack biting Rickett in the navel. He bit her right in the stomach.
Cantankerous, I'd say.
I guess he was pretty tame.
Well, you're not going to print all day.
She's writing all the time.
We don't care.
Oh, yeah, this is all going
down. Oh, my. That'll be history.
Oh, shoot.
There's a few things on here I'd like to get to before we...
We should have been married. I imagine they had good chivalries, too. Chivalry was a real event. The groom usually got thrown in the tank, suit and all.
So what... Tell us a little bit about those things.
You don't know what a chivalry is, do you?
I heard a little bit about them, but I'm not clear on exactly.
Well, they were real.
They were.
When people got married, a couple got married, all the neighbors and friends came in
after dark.
After dark, and surprised them.
Chivalry.
Yes. Yeah. And then they did all kinds of army things.
Well, they would wait till the newlyweds went off.
And the bride and groom had hard candy and cigars ready to pass out to everybody. If you didn't have, that's usually when the groom got in the tank.
That's why they got rough.
Yeah, that's when they...
It depended on, I suppose, the temperament of the groom, you know, what kind of a guy he was. If he deserved a little bit harsher punishment, he got it.
They banged on anything they could find that make a racket, and they'd ring cowbells and things like that. I mean, they'd make an ungodly noise. And they'd take sticks and go up and down your house so that... Oh, boy.
And then you would open up, you'd let them in, and they'd have...
Yeah, you'd have to.
So they really got rowdy.
So did you all have chivalries at your... You were all victims?
I was chivalry.
By the time we got married, did you have chivalry? We didn't.
Were you expecting it when they came?
Well, I think we had some cigars and a little candy on hand.
So I guess, yeah.
But they treated us pretty nice, really. But
you didn't get thrown into the tank or your husband?
A lot of times they'd take them, put them in the tank.
Water stock tank.
And one time, I was with a group that really was rough on her sister and her husband.
On your on Mrs. Fuqua's sister?
They got a sled. The man picked up the sled somewhere, knew where it was. It was her brother-in-law and her sister. They married brothers and sisters. And we'd been over Chester to the dance. And a bunch of us decided we'd go chivalry, Lewis and Peggy. So we goes out there. They lived out here in the country about 4 miles. And the boys knew where there was a sled, and they put the poor Peggy and Lewis on that sled and drag them in here to town. And the roads was gravel then. somewhere in the shape. Peggy fell off. I don't know whether Lewis did or not, but I know she come out with a real bad bruise and her leg all scarred up from that gravel on the road. And I've always felt bad about it. I thought the kids were too hard on Lewis and Peggy. They'll feel bad about it. And they're both of them gone now. And so it's just all history. But I remember it well.
I don't think I'd like that if I
had. No, it was mean.
Well,
it wasn't good.
They usually took them on a short wild ride before they take them home, didn't they?
What?
Didn't they usually take the couple on a
long
wild
time
ride before, you know, they take them?
I reckon I wouldn't have remembered that if they hadn't have, you know, the road, they just graveled the main highway and we come in town, circled and went
60
back out.
Here was gravel, it wasn't paved.
And I know it bruised Peggy up pretty bad, and I've always felt bad about it.
I forgot all about that, Ruby.
No, I remember because the boys had been over Chester to the dance, and I picked them. I
dragged
a little more than they should have.
To
and they probably
they were like
the
other they were at.
They'd all do a band. It was probably about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. How was your chivalry?
Well, my husband and I met going to college over at Alva. And so the very last day of school we decided to get married before we went home. Well, that was a good idea. So we did, and his mother came in that evening to get him just in time to be there for the wedding. Anyway, we came down, and when we found out they was going to have the wedding, we went over in the timber and hid out. And they were chivalry in the house. And finally one of the girls, he had 8 sisters, and they said, we know where Vita and Clifford are. And they went over there in the timber and found us and brought us back. We came in the house, and they got yelled, and they saw Clifford, and they said, where's somebody, another girl, let's say Mary, I don't remember. Where's Mary? He hadn't married Mary, he married Vita. So she married this other girl, she was there. I thought it was kind of funny. I wondered what was going on. And then, of course, when I went out home to my brothers, we didn't have a chivalry. They decided to party for us out there.
Yeah. A lot of cigar smoking going on.
But I thought it was funny that kind of got the other girl got chivalry.
Well, I want to cover a couple other topics, and we can wrap it up. This is going to be, we're really changing topics here. But do you remember any, as a child or being younger, losing friends or relatives when things got a little difficult, people moving off? Do you remember losing close friends or relatives to the hard times?
Out there, they would load up everything and go to California. Mm-hmm.
You remember that actually happening?
Oh, yes.
Watching people
because they'd come over for Daddy to buy the land. He bought several sections of land that way. Not sections, quarters, excuse
right.
me. He took quarters of land like that. But people just had to have some money to go, and then he sent them payments later along. Hmm. Yes. And they just had things piled on those old cars and maybe have a crate of chickens on the back. You know, they just...
Anybody else remember people moving away?
Right in our local community, I don't think we lost any neighbors to go to California, but I remember people talking about it, so
yeah.
People going.
There was a lot from our neighborhood that went to California. But what I remember, I was married in 1937, and we lived about 9 miles out in the country this way. And there was a house, we lived on one quarter of the section, and there was a house on the other end of the section. It was a very poor house. And we had a family move in there. They came in from across the river somewhere. But they had everything they had on this old wagon. And the poorest old horses I ever seen in my life. And they had some children, and we seen them move down there. And they didn't stay but 2 or 3 years, or maybe probably not a year. I don't know how long they stayed. But I can remember them moving down and us watching them go by. And then I could see them when they went back. And them poor old skinny horses and that old wagon and everything they owned on that thing. Hmm. We certainly wasn't rich, but we had enough to... We wanted nothing like that, and it that was about
there
the
was
most,
lots of people like that.
That was about the most worst I ever seen in our neighborhood out here.
A lot of people came up from Caddo County, from the south, and they came over around us and would farm cotton for the farmers there. And they would cut trees, there was a lot of trees, and they'd build log houses and just little one room and live in that house and farm cotton. And then there was a lot of blackjack trees on my dad's farm, and he would let these men cut wood, and my dad had a buzz saw, so they'd saw it up, and then they could take their wood to the store and get food. So there's several families. Any place that there was a little shack, someone would move into it.
Would they ever come by your houses looking for food or help?
I remember that. What I remember is Dad helping them cut up the wood. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember.
I remember that somebody moved into your area that you knew was poor. You know, I can remember. We didn't have too much to give, but I can remember my mother taking them eggs and things like that if they, you know, move in for it to have food to eat.
I remember one time at school, these cotton farmers, we called them cotton farmers, came up there, and we was I had an apple in my lunch coming home, and this little girl said, "I'll trade you a milk biscuit for that."
A milk biscuit?
I thought, what's a milk biscuit? I didn't know, because my mother always made biscuits with milk. And I'll trade you a milk biscuit for that. And I thought it might be a treat. And I traded. And they'd got some skim milk from neighbors over and made biscuits with milk. And I thought it must be something great. I found out.
Just a biscuit.
A cold biscuit with nothing on it.
Well, you live and learn, I guess.
Yes, well, yes, I guess I was dumb.
Our favorite lunch to take to school, Mother baked the homemade bread in the muffin tins, and then she'd cut the top out and haul it all out and fill it full of potato salad.
Oh, wow.
Is that right?
Well,
and that everybody in school wanted our potato salad, but we weren't about. There was four of us, you know, and that one of my brothers already gone, but he was in high school. But you know, that was a treat.
I'm a chase boy.
We wouldn't trade off after all. We was hungry too.
Well, do you remember any experiences at your houses with hobos or tramps or coming through looking for work?
Yes.
If they
did at Chester.
Yes. And then they would come, peddlers come in a buggy, come by, and you'd always, if anybody came, you always invited them to stay for dinner, even though there wasn't much, but you'd share what you had.
So these, we just call them tramps, I guess. You would welcome them into your house?
We didn't live on the highway, so they didn't come out that way.
Well, about any time you went anywhere down the road, it was not uncommon to see two or three hitchhikers.
Oh, there's lots of hobos back in them there. Lots of people on the road walking.
And you didn't think anything about stopping and picking them up and taking them?
No,
you just did.
You thought, you just thought you're supposed to feed them and help them.
We lived on the highway, and I had a daughter. She was about, 4 years old. And they'd always stop and wait for a truck or somebody to pick them up. And I missed her one day, and she took a chair out there for a hitchhiker to sit in until he got a ride.
I don't remember this, but I remember him telling about, do you remember Tom Bland's? Did you ever hear?
I remember the Bland's, yes.
There was outlaws came to her house and wanted her to cook a meal for them, and she did. And I think it was the James.
Is that right?
And she cooked, I don't know what she fixed, but she cooked a meal for them, and they were so nice, and he left her a $20 bill.
Oh, my head.
And that was a lot of money then.
That was a lot of money.
When was that?
Well, that was back before my time. That was when the outlaws were running in the country.
Some might say there's still outlaws running around.
Well, yes, there are still.
Well, what about what about any other travelers through the country? Do you remember any Sometimes we hear stories about gypsies.
Yes, yes, there was gypsies. Yeah, the gypsies came through, and we was always afraid of them.
We didn't live on the main highway, but I remember when I was quite small, why, mother got word that the gypsies was coming down our road, you know, and she was scared to death. Of course, I got scared. But I don't remember ever coming to the house. But I can remember she was really alarmed because the gypsies was coming.
I remember one time coming home from school, there was gypsies parked along the road there. We had to walk by them. They didn't bother us, but we were afraid.
Were they in cars?
No. Wagons and horses, and they had all their wares, a covered wagon. And they had everything in those.
I remember one time, I think these people were just going through or moving or something, and they'd come down that road by our place that hooked you up. They would hit that another road that took them into Camargo or down onto Tologa from the north, you know. And anyhow, we lived down on the bottom. We had a row of cottonwood trees on each side of the road, big old shade trees, and it was in the spring. Cherries was ripe. And those people stopped down by the bridge just by our house, right, to eat their evening meal. And my dad got up in the cherry tree and cut a big limb up in the top of the tree. The cherries would get ripest, you know. And he got up there and cut a big branch out and told me to take it down there and give those people. So I took these cherries down, gave them to them, and they were so grateful that fresh fruit was good, you know. They gave me two cookies.
Good.
And they were bought at the store. So they weren't gypsies or hobos or anything. Yeah. They must have just been, I don't know who they were or where they were going. I don't think we ever even knew, but they were camped down there. He saw they were eating, so he got on top of that tree and cut it. I can remember taking that big branch of cherries down to those people. They were pretty, you know, the green leaves and real ripe cherries. Yes. And they gave me two cookies for bringing to them.
Do you remember any other encounters with the gypsies?
That's the only gypsies I remember, just that one.
I never had many gypsies out here, but I do remember that time.
I remember my first motion picture. On Saturday, they'd go to town to shop, and they wanted some place for us kids to get out of the way. So this old great big building had some planks on stumps, and we kids go in there and sit down, and they'd have motion pictures, and we'd spend our Saturday afternoon watching those black and white pictures, with cartoons mostly. But it got all of us out of the folks' hair. Now that we were down there, I don't remember whether we were still going in the wagon or the surrey, or if we were going in the Model T.
One of the questions we kind of ask at the very end of all this is for you to kind of think back during those times. And if there's one particular incident or memory you have that comes to mind, what's the most vivid memory or recollection you have of those times? I mean, is it a certain event, or is it a feeling, or is there a certain, you know, smell or sight or sound?
It was that black Sunday with that dirt rolling over the trees.
Was awful. I think we all remember that.
That was the worst, because
when you think back to the 30s, that's the thing that comes to your mind immediately?
That dust.
No, that I can still see that big old black
storm. We were all coming in there at the cellar watching to see. We had to go to the cellar. They thought, didn't know what that was. Black dirt.
A lot of times it looked like a storm cloud. They were so black.
It looked like it was just a big black cloud, black as it could be.
So that would be what your most vivid and fresh and thing that comes to mind the quickest.
And then when we just have dirt storms, just regular dirt storms, I can remember, what I remember most is that black, I guess it's dirt from Colorado blew in, because our soil was redder, you know. And that old black stuff would just sift in like face powder. Pile up in the windows, you know.
The way I remember, they'd come in from the northwest one day and it would be black. Maybe a day or two later, it'd come in from the southwest, and it'd be red.
It was colorful.
It would be so thick it would blot out the sun.
Yeah, it would.
I don't remember the black dirt. I remember the red dirt. Mom would take wet down blankets and put it over the window. Yeah. And by the time it dried,
a lot of people did that.
Take them out and shake it, and the clumps would just fall off. And you'd rewet them and put them back over the window again.
I know, like today, the red dirt around Stillwater, if you get it on your clothes or something, it doesn't really come out.
No, right? You get red mud on you. You get red mud in there, it's there.
Place, and we weren't allowed to go out there because if we got into that red dirt, it didn't wash out.
Right.
And Dad would pick it up later and he'd take it on out to where it would be away from the house because it would stain.
Well, do you remember as these dust storms were coming, the animals acting any differently? Or can you remember, sometimes I know we always hear about chickens going to roost during the middle of the day. Yeah. But do you remember anything about any different, the way your pets or farm animals
were? They were restless. Dad always went out and brought the cattle in. They were usually in the corral when one of those hit, when it really got bad. Because they would wander off, and sometimes it'd take weeks to find them to bring them back because they could just walk over a fence, they would, and try to sort it back out. They didn't have time to do it, and so they usually try to bring them in.
One thing, they had to put a chain dragging on the vehicles so that they'd run because of the electricity in that air in those storms, and every car and every truck, everybody had a chain that hit the ground. Mm-hmm. And so that they wouldn't stall out on you,
Yeah, I've heard about that. That seems that was pretty severe to have to drag chains around to run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think since Mrs. Strecker's all antsy to go, we're going to have to break it up.
Party.
That's about all we have.